Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We are 29 hours away from the start of the NFL draft. That's what we will be covering today. We'll dabble a little bit in the Kansas City Royals, but we actually don't have a full show tomorrow because of the Kansas City Royals. They have a home game against the Toronto Blue Jays. I did get a chance to go out to the game yesterday. Great win for the Royals. 3-2 win against the Blue Jays. The Royals looking to at least take a split of the series today if they win against Toronto. We got a lot of draft stuff to get into between now and the end of the show. We will have everybody from 610 on the show at some point today to give you their thoughts. So if you want to hear what Fesco thinks, or Kling, or Cody, or Gold, or whomever, you will hear them over the course of the next 3.5 hours. We are very appreciative of your time and the fact that you have made us a part of your Wednesday. Thank you so much. Before we get into draft talk, there's only one thing to do.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7610. Caller number 6 wants a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got a new spot in Waldo, plus locations in OP, Lee Summit, Midtown, North KC, St. Joe, and Lawrence. They got a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So if you're in the mood for a whole pie or maybe just a slice or two will suffice, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want to get ready for the NFL draft and you also want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, there's only one place to do it, and it's with us, The Drive, on 610 Sports Radio. So we have talked a lot about quarterbacks over the course of the last couple of months. We'll wrap up all of those conversations today, but one point that I have about the draft is everyone is saying the same thing, which could 100% be true. It seems very obvious that Minnesota would be aggressive in trying to find a quarterback, but they are not the only team that feels that way. I was listening to Adam Schefter earlier today, and he said that he thinks there are 7 teams in the league that need quarterbacks. There are only 6 QBs that teams covet. Well, if that's the case, someone's going to be left out, and there's also going to be very intense competition for the few quarterbacks that are available. Caleb Williams is not available to you if you are the New England Patriots, if you're the Denver Broncos, if you're the Minnesota Vikings. Scratch him off the list. Jaden Daniels is also not a quarterback that is available. So we're really talking about 5 quarterbacks for maybe 7 teams. You are going to see someone make a very drastic move and a very drastic shift in how the board is put together for the NFL draft. One of those teams I think could be the Denver Broncos. Here is Michael Lombardi. Here's what he had to say about the Broncos, and they could potentially be looking to add a QB.
Denver, Pat, is going to come out of this with a quarterback. I know they traded for Zach Wilson. I know that. I get that. And the Jets are paying half of it. But going into this draft, all they have were Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci. And so, like, that, the depth chart tells you everything that you need to know. So when you focus away from the noise on the outside and all the rhetoric, you know, the Giants don't need a quarterback. They got Tommy DeVito. They've got, you know, they've got Drew Lock. They've got, you know, like all the rhetoric. If you just look at the depth chart, they'll tell you the answer.
So that was Michael Lombardi on the Pat McAfee show talking about the Denver Broncos. I mean, we all can look at the depth chart for the team. They are not very loaded at the position. Rob, I am looking at the way that the draft is put together, and I'm looking at the way that teams are sort of setting up, and the Broncos, to me, make a lot of sense. Now, they're going to have to eat a lot of dead money when it comes to Russell Wilson, but that is money that is a sunk cost. You already are going to have to pay it. And you going cheap on a rookie deal, in addition to some of the backup veteran QB options that you have, is not a bad play in the short term. Also, if you're a guy like Sean Payton, you know that you want to kind of put your thumbprint on the organization. You did not pick Russell Wilson. It was obvious that you and Russell Wilson were not on the same page. You heard those rumblings when he was still at Fox that he was not the biggest fan of Russell Wilson. And then when you see how it played itself out in Denver, we certainly see that there was a disconnect between coach and quarterback. You have now sent him out of town. He is now playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now you need to figure it out if you're the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are at 12. Minnesota is at 11. Now, I understand Minnesota has the two first-round picks this year, so that makes them a little bit more dangerous. But, Rob, if we're looking at this thing, I think you would be crazy, at least in the quarterback conversation, to dismiss the Denver Broncos as a team that could potentially move up. They're not trading with the Chargers at 5, but would Arizona move all the way back to 12, depending on what the deal was? Would the Giants move back from 6? Would Tennessee move back from 7 to 12 to go pick up some additional future assets to try to strengthen their roster? How badly does Sean Payton want to set the tone as an organization? How badly do the Broncos want to try to get it right at quarterback when you were in the same division as Patrick Mahomes and also Justin Herbert? And the Raiders are in the same spot. They don't have the position answered, so they're going to have to spend some investment. Maybe they go Michael Penix at 13. Maybe they really like Bo Nix. Who knows what the other two teams in the division are going to do? But you look at it right now. Two teams feel very confident in their quarterback and coach and who they have. And then you have two teams that are on the exact opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the Broncos and the Raiders. I think the Broncos are a team to watch. Everybody is so focused on Minnesota moving up and making a deal. I think the Broncos could potentially be one of those teams.
So I agree there's going to be a wild card team tomorrow night that makes a move for a quarterback that we go, oh, wow. And I'm not talking about just Minnesota. Everyone thinks Minnesota. I saw a stat the other day that someone compiled all the mock drafts, and like 52% of the mock drafts in the world have the Vikings trading up. I don't think the Vikings trading up is a shock to anyone. But where you and me differ is I think Denver and Las Vegas, for that matter, are a little bit SOL, because I think that wild card team is the New York Giants. I think there is a reason why everyone and their mother has the Vikings coming up to 4 or 5. It's not only because the Cardinals and Chargers are open for business, it's because I think everyone knows the following. If J.J. McCarthy gets to 6, the Giants will take him. I think the Giants are going to be the massive wild card here. And I think the Giants are going to throw a fly in the ointment for a lot of teams, because a team like Denver, that I agree, Michael Lombardi, needs to walk out of the draft with a quarterback. They can't go into the season with Ben DiNucci as their starting quarterback and Jarrett Stidham. That's not good enough. I don't know they're going to be able to have the assets needed to get ahead of the Giants, because I think once the Vikings make their move, the Giants become the most interesting team in the draft, because I think the Giants want a quarterback, and that's why teams are rushing ahead of 6 on the board. And I don't know the Broncos can get to 4 or 5 what they have asset-wise. So we agree on the whole. There is going to be a, whoa, can you believe Team X took a quarterback at some point tomorrow night? I think that team is the Giants, and I don't think the Chiefs division rivals, when it comes to the Raiders or the Broncos, have the assets to get ahead of them at six. And because they can't get ahead of them at six, I think they're going to be in round two Bo Nix territory far more so than they are J.J. McCarthy land.
We haven't spent too much time talking about the New York Giants and their possible pursuit of a quarterback. But they are also a very interesting team in this conversation. The Giants have the sixth overall pick. And if you look at the contract to Daniel Jones, it is essentially a 2-year, $84 million deal. I know that it looks like a 4-for-60. That's not what it, or 4-for-160. That's not what it is. It is a 2-for-$82 million, and then a we'll see after that. So I'm not saying it's like the Chiefs with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, but if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to do what Cleveland's idea was, you had Tyrod Taylor and you let him start for the year and then you bring Baker Mayfield along slow. We also saw that same thing with the Chargers and ideally enough with Tyrod Taylor. The Giants could do something very similar this year. Daniel Jones is 27 years old. You let Daniel Jones start this year. Let's say that he has a great year. You can then trade him at the end of the deal, and whatever team you trade him to can then restructure his contract. Let's say you move on from Daniel Jones at the end of this season. You don't got to eat too much cap space. And then you also give yourself time to reset that rookie clock with the J.J. McCarthy, with a younger quarterback, and then see what happens. Quarterbacks and wide receivers, to me, are the intrigue of the draft. We'll obviously get to Kansas City. We'll do that in a bit after Royals Price is Right. But there are, I would say, two major conversations in the top 12 to 16 picks. How are the quarterbacks going to shake out and the skill position players? There's going to be one of these wide receivers that goes way higher than we think because a team absolutely loves him. A guy like Brian Thomas could be the 11th overall pick in this year's draft. A team has absolutely fallen in love with the player, and in a wide receiver class that people just don't think is deep, is extremely talented at the top. There's going to be one or two surprises, I think, when it comes to those skill position players, and a team is going to, what perceived is going to be to overpay or draft a guy a little bit too high, and that guy's still going to have a chance to turn out to be one of the better young players in the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, it's time for Royals Price is Right, 913-586-7610. We'll update you on what the attendance was yesterday. We'll let you know who won yesterday, and we'll also give you a chance today to win a large pizza from the other place, 913-586-7610. It's time for Royals Price is Right. Coming up next, keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DePasquale Moore. Car wreck? Get the money you deserve. Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to play Kansas City's favorite game. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? Now, I was attending in attendance at the game yesterday, and let me tell you, it was a beautiful night. Wasn't too windy, wasn't too hot. People were excited. People were happy. I got me a great thing of Dippin' Dots. Just had a fantastic night out at the ballpark. The Royals won yesterday. Thinking about going to the day game tomorrow, but, you know, that old work thing sometimes gets in the way. You guys know how that can be from time to time. Well, all right. Rob, people know the rules by now. Closest to the number without going over, did we have a winner yesterday? And before you answer, are we counting dogs towards the attendance number, or are we just going off people? That is a fair point someone brought up, because you have to remember that your dog needs a ticket to be able to attend the game. Are we going off people, or are we going total adding in the pups yesterday because it was Bark at the Park?
I'll tell you this. Even if you are the type of person that is adamant we should count the dogs, we did not have a winner yesterday.
Oh.
Our low man on the totem pole yesterday would have been at 12,000. They had 11,300 people and 499 dogs.
So everybody hit the over yesterday.
Everyone flies over. You know what that means, Carrington? Two pizzas available
today.
Oh, we're
giving out two pizzas today. It carries over. Oh, this is a great one. All right, before we start taking contestants, Rob, can you let us know what the promotions are today at the K? So Monday, it was just a regular, hey, do you want to watch baseball? Yesterday was Bark at the Park, and we also had Dollar Dogs, and yes, I got three of them. And then today is Wednesday. What we got?
The only thing listed on Royals.com is it is Prostate Cancer Awareness Night. I don't know if there's a giveaway associated with it or anything. It just says Prostate Cancer Awareness Night.
That's it?
That's it.
Nothing else.
Getting people aware about prostate
cancer.
There's
no college night. There's no tickets. There's no nothing. It's just
not a thing.
Watch your prostate.
Careful about prostate cancer.
All right. Eric, it's up to you now. How many people do you think are going to the game tonight? Two pizzas on the 8, line.
8,000.
How much, Eric? I'm sorry.
8,000.
8,000. All right. Eric got it down for 8K tonight. Eric, 8K. All right, Eric, stay on hold, man. I want to make sure we get all your information. All right, Tyler. We actually have two Tylers today. I'm going to call you Tyler 1 for this experiment. All right, Tyler. All right. How many people you think are going to the game today?
10,123.
All right, 10,123 people in attendance today. All right, put you on hold here, Tyler. All right, Tyler 2. How many people do you think are going to the game?
Oh, T2. Thanks, C-Dot. Love your show, man. Let's go 10-2, baby. 10-2.
All right. Just got flat out 10-2. All right. Tyler 2 got 10-2. All right. Put you on hold here. All right, Logan, you are last up in how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
Yes, sir. Let's go 8,800.
8,800. All right. Let me put you down here. Logan, you got 8,800 people at the game today. All right, Rob Brenton, if you can go ahead and fade the music down, let's make sure we get everybody's information. I want to make sure that everybody gets their chance at winning. Today's a big prize. Not just one pizza. You get two pizzas with the win today? Two?
What do you got at tonight?
I called it yesterday, did I not?
You did.
Give me credit. I was spot on yesterday.
You said everyone was way too high yesterday.
Yeah, I think I do think we will have a winner today. I'm going to go 11-2 today. 11-2 feels about right to me. Middle of the week. Weather is good. They did win last night. Yeah. No, you know what? Give me 10-9.
I think you're too high.
I'm locking in at 10-9.
I think you're too high.
You think 10-9's too high?
I actually think Tyler number 2 is in the ballpark because I have 10-1.
You got 10-1 today.
I mean, seriously, Monday and today are the same. There's no big giveaway.
What's tomorrow?
It's a regular day game.
When's school day at the K? Because that's going to throw the whole thing off. They might get 31,000 people out there for school day at the K. When's that?
I am scrolling down through. I don't see school day at the K down here for a while. School day at the K will be May 8th.
Okay. That's coming up then. That's coming up.
This feels the same as Monday to me. You're not getting a big number.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go 10-9. Special shout out to everybody who called in to play today. Be sure to stay on the line. I want to make sure that you get your prize. I want to make sure that if you are the winner, we can contact you if that's the case. So I went to the game yesterday. The Royals won yesterday. They are tied 1-1 in this series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Vern was on Fesco in the morning, and he said this, and you know what? When you're right, you're right. Vern's right.
The reason why I maintain through May has been my mantra is if they're able to do that, to me, everybody in that clubhouse is going to have that confidence-building moment, especially those young hitters and those young relievers that need it. And if this team over the first 2 months, which we still have 32 games remaining until we get to the end of May, 25 of those 32 are against teams with a 500 or better record. If the Royals are in it at the end of May, I have to imagine that clubhouse is going to get an influx of confidence that we haven't seen in quite some time that's going to allow them to, you know, attack June, attack July, months, pressure, games that, again, Bobby and MJ and these guys have never played in a meaningful game outside of the month of May.
That was Josh Vernier when he was on Fesco in the morning yesterday. I mean, the message for the Royals to me is pretty simple. Just continue to maintain and stay the course. I think if you ask the Royals, and I know that Matt Quatraro, he goes on Fesco every week, I think the Royals will tell you, hey, offensively, we are not exactly where we would like to be. But you know what? Yesterday, they didn't have the greatest day offensively. They scored just enough, and the bullpen, which certainly took its shots early on in the season, maintain the course. You grinded that game out. You won 3-2. Let's go back to the ballpark. Let's put ourselves in a position today where if we win this game, we got a chance to win the series on a day game on Thursday. Let's not be playing where on Thursday we got to win this to try to split the series. No, let's take a little bit of an advantage in this series in a four-game set. Win today. And let's put ourselves in a spot where on Thursday we can go win the series against a team that won 85-plus games last season. I think that has to be the mindset today if you're the Kansas City Royals. Vern is 100% right. Stay the course. You're playing real teams over the course of the next 6 weeks. Just continue to maintain and stay afloat. We asked the Royals to tread water. They are doing that currently. Can you continue to keep this up for the next 4 or 5 weeks and really make this an interesting spring and summer?
I was unaware of that stat Vern laid out, that of the next 32 games, 26, I believe is what he said, are against 500 or better teams. So I'm even more adamant. I'm even more steadfast. Tread water. You had the stat yesterday. The Royals against non-White Sox teams were 7-9. They're now 8-9 against teams not named the Chicago White Sox. If you continue at that pace, a little below 500, but you're playing better baseball teams, you feel like that's the definition of treading water. Then eventually, out of this stretch, you'd figure the schedule has to lighten up. I can't imagine the schedule over 162 is just gauntlet of over 500 teams night after night after night. It's not like playing in the AFC West a few years ago. It's going to lit up a little bit. So if you can get through this gauntlet of the toughest part of your schedule against the best teams on your schedule, and you get out of this and it's June 1 and you're 30-30 or you're 28-32, I don't think anyone in the city is going to be down on you. And Denny always says it, that's the best time to evaluate teams. If you're 30-30-ish by June 1 coming out of that schedule, I think the city will start to believe a little bit, huh, this is a better baseball team. I think we'll see less and less text on the text line that's, it's just White Sox driven, guys, but you have to stay afloat during this stretch. You can't bury yourself. The same way they always bury themselves in April, do not bury yourself in this stretch.
I want to play for you guys what J.J. Piccolo had to say. He was on Cody and Gold. Here's the general manager of the Kansas City Royals.
Clearly, and this is not a knock at all, clearly the starting pitching's given up some runs, but they were performing so well that, you know, there's going to be some sort of regression. And, you know, there's a time where you want your offense to come around. And, you know, we did a good job battling back into the game on Saturday. Didn't quite get it done, but the offense did a nice job. And then Sunday we're a little flat. And, you know, last night, you know, missed out on some opportunities. But, you know, that's the ebbs and flows of the season. That's the way it goes. And, you know, one side's got to pick up the other, and I know they will.
That's 100% accurate from J.J. Pecola. I mean, one side does have to pick up the other side. I do think the Royals' offense is going to catch fire. It's a baseball season. There's ebbs and flow. This offense is really going to get going. But if you can continue to stay over 500 and grind out games the way like they did yesterday, despite your offense not playing to its highest potential, you will absolutely take that if you are the Kansas City Royals. The Royals are fine. I know that it is kind of in our nature to always kind of second guess the Royals and look at them as on shaky territory. And I do it sometimes too. So I don't want to only point the finger at others and not at least acknowledge that within myself. But the Royals are fine. The Royals are over 500. They continue to grind out games. They continue to be in series. And if you can do that for a couple of months, you give yourself a chance to do something special in the second half of the season. Coming up on the other side, we'll begin our look around 610. We are going to talk to every on-air personality at 610 and get their thoughts on what the Chiefs should do in the upcoming NFL draft. We start that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DePasquale Moore. Car, truck, or motorcycle wreck? Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Kansas City, it's Nick Bolton.
Can I get a big ol' M-I-Z?
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Over the course of today's show, we are going to be joined by every on-air personality at 610 just to get their feelings on what the Chiefs should do as they head into the NFL draft. Let's start with Bob Fesco from Fesco in the Morning. Bob, how you doing today, my man?
Good. It's a beautiful sunny day outside, so I'm enjoying myself. How are you?
Doing great, man. Let's just start with this. I think the Chiefs have two major needs heading into the draft. It's either offensive line or wide receiver. Which direction would you like to see them go in round one?
Oh, I really want that left tackle position solidified, but I don't know if that guy's going to be there if they're picking at number 32. So if I had it my way, I'd love to have Joe Wolf on this team, put him in there at left tackle and let that position be solidified for the next 10 years. Because I don't know about you, Carrington, I'm just kind of tired of the same thing every year of trying to find out who that left tackle is going to be. And they really haven't had that solidified since they, moved on from Eric Fisher after that second Super Bowl. So I think for me, I mean, all things being equal, I'd love for them to get an offensive lineman, get an offensive tackle, and solidify that thing.
That's where I am as well, and I think a major reason, at least for me, because I've been very steadfast on wide receiver the last couple of years, is if this draft class is as deep at the position as everybody says it is, then there's going to be an all-pro in the second round. There's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber player in the third or fourth round. You just got to find them, and Rob and I were having this conversation yesterday that people sign up for this theory when we are talking about running back. People need to start signing up for this theory at wide receiver too, because you get a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is a fourth round pick, who now just signed the largest contract in NFL history today.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. And Brett Veach has been really good about finding guys, in the draft. I mean, we talk about a seventh round running back being there, for this organization. Rashee Rice is a second round draft pick. So I think there are a lot of guys out there. And I just don't think this organization is really concerned about spending high capital on a wide receiver, whether it be money or a draft pick. When you have Patrick Mahomes and you've got the cheat code, he can make guys better. And it's hard to argue, Carrington, with what they've done over the last couple of years. They've won two straight Super Bowls since trading Tyreek Hill. And I think, and what Josh and I have been talking about in the morning, is that I think our fan base want for a wide receiver is greater than what the Chiefs believe their need for a wide receiver is. And I think they're going to give, guys like Kadarius Toney one more opportunity here to see what they can do. I'm sure they'll worry about getting, you know, Rashee Rice back sometime, hopefully in October, and kind of go from there. You still have Travis Kelce on this team, and they've made a living about drafting, you know, wide receivers in the second round. So I could definitely see that happening, unless you're willing to trade up. And which I would. I'd give up the next three first-round picks to trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. I would have no problem doing that because you're picking 32 anyway. So you might as well, you know, move up to the draft and try to get a big-name wide receiver. If they're not going to do that, then I think you got to go maybe offensive line with that 32nd pick. But again, if that guy's not there and it gets close to 32 and you don't like what you see, trade out. Get some more picks for later in the draft.
Bob, is there a wide receiver that you do like? Like, there is there a guy that at the end of the draft, whether it's a Xavier Worthy, whether it's an A.D. Mitchell, a Ladd McConkey, is there a player that you do like at the back half of the draft?
Well, I feel like guys that I like are at the top half of the draft. I've loved Marvin Harrison for the better part of, you know, a year and a half now and wanted him to come to Kansas City in every way possible. I love watching, Malik Nabers play as well. He's so much fun. And Rome Odunze is really good, too. But I feel like Ladd McConkey has Kansas City written all over him. I don't know. I just feel like that's the guy that's going to come in here. And if it's the late round or late in the first round and you're sitting there at number 32 and nobody wants to trade and you're not sure what to do, and Ladd McConkey sitting there, I feel like Ladd McConkey may be the guy they go with.
Everything I've learned about Ladd McConkey over the course of the last 2 weeks and how people describe him, aside from just watching him at Georgia, it just sounds like everything that the Chiefs didn't have last year at wide receiver. Like, I like Xavier Worthy as a prospect, but they've had the fast prospect that they've tried to turn into a true traditional route runner. I actually like A.D. Mitchell. Not 100% sure if he's going to be there at 32, but I'd be really happy if they selected him. I'm looking at Ladd McConkey and what they had last year. They didn't have reliable in the wide receiver room, and he sounds really reliable.
Well, he does, and that's something that you do need. I mean, obviously Travis Kelce was your reliable guy, and maybe Justin Watson, you know, could be a little bit reliable, but MVS wasn't reliable. Kadarius Toney wasn't reliable. Rashee Rice, once he started to figure things out, we got towards the end of the season, I think he was probably as reliable as you could get, but you'd like to have that guy like, you know, Sammy Watkins. When they originally brought him in was because they didn't know what to expect out of Patrick Mahomes, and he came in as that veteran, reliable wide receiver. And I know Sammy probably leaves here and people go, God, that guy was a bust. But like, it's 3rd and 8. That guy was always open and got you the first down. You could rely on him of being there. And if Patrick Mahomes can get that type of player that, you know, that you can scan the field like 4 times, but that guy's always going to be open. Yeah, I'd love to have a reliable guy like that.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco of Fesco in the Morning here for a couple of more minutes. Bob, outside of wide receiver and left tackle, is there another position that you're interested in? Maybe not as a round one option, but is there another position that you're thinking, man, I really would like to come away with a productive player at this position in the draft?
You know, maybe defensive back, but they've got a lot of guys on their roster that they've recently drafted. But I also think interior offensive line. You know, you got some guys coming up on contract, you know, at the 2 guard positions and definitely the center position. So I'd like to see what they're going to do there. If they go like center in the 2nd or 3rd round, that probably means Creed Humphrey is either moving to guard next season or maybe his days are done. And the Chiefs have really moved on from their center since Andy Reid has got here. I mean, you had Rodney Hudson, they moved on from him. You had Mitch Morse, they moved on from him. That's kind of been the pattern. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go interior offensive line, and I would like them to go, you know, offensive line. I'm a lineman guy. I draft some more interior defensive tackles as well, because I think those are the guys that help you win football games. And if you don't have those lines secured, the rest of the team is basically useless. So when in doubt, draft a big dude and stick him in the middle of the offensive line or defensive line.
Fesco, you're very plugged into the organization. Are you hearing anything about Donovan Smith? Is it a scenario kind of like what happened last year? The draft plays itself out, and maybe a week, 10 days after the draft, they bring him back?
You know, we were talking about that the other day, you know, on the air to see what happens, not necessarily with Donovan Smith. I forget the name of who we were talking about. It was like David Bakhtiari or something like that. Like that. So somebody texted and goes, that's got Chiefs written all over him. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that. I mean, you know, free agency in the NFL seemingly is like 1 or 2 days, but it's not. I mean, there's still guys out there that they can go get, but I know how the Chiefs operate. They would rather go out and get a rookie and let a rookie kind of come in and earn a spot on the roster and pay that rookie salary, as opposed to paying one of those middle, you know, tier veterans, those guys that are in year 6, 7, 8 that are going to require the veteran minimum. That's going to be a lot more than they can pay a rookie who's drafted in the fourth or fifth round, or even an undrafted rookie free agent. So I think they explore all of those options before they look and see what veteran free agents are out there on the market.
That is our guy, Bob Fesco, joining us on the show today. Just wanted to get his thoughts on what he thinks the Chiefs should do in round one of the NFL draft. He thinks the Chiefs should go left tackle and secure the offensive line in the first round. Bob, I appreciate you, man. I'll see you tomorrow at the Landing in Liberty.
Yeah, we'll be at the Landing. Get the soft pretzel and the Reuben quesadilla. I promise you, you won't be sorry.
That is our guy, Bob Fesco, joining us on the show today. Always happy to catch up with him. You can see Bob tomorrow. I'll be there as well. Rob will also be there. The Landing at Liberty, brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. So I saw the draft sheets today. Get there a little bit earlier. Fill out the draft sheet. Who you think is going number one to the Bears, all the way to 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Whoever gets the most correct answers is leaving with $610. There's also going to be some autographed Chiefs apparel. I saw that earlier today. Everybody from the station is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Cody is going to be there. Alex is going to be there. It's going to be a great time. I encourage you to pull up. I encourage you to be there. Come stop by tomorrow, the Landing at the at Liberty. Rob, are you still on the same side as wide receiver? It is funny now that me and you have done an about face for the last 2 years. I have been banging the drum for them to go get a wide receiver. I still want them to go get a wide receiver. I'm just not thirsty for one the way that I have been the last couple of years. I mean, I have been at the forefront. I've been telling you guys every day for the last 2 years, they don't have enough at wide receiver. They don't have enough at wide receiver. I still believe they don't have enough at the position. I just don't know if you need to use your first pick to address everything that you need. I do like the addition of Hollywood Brown. I think if you find one more reliable option, I think you're fine.
I would describe myself as thirsty for wideout now. I do think conceptually we agree. As long as you get one, I'll be relatively happy. But I am of the opinion that it is time to take a big swing at pass catcher. And I think one of the reasons I'm big on this opinion is I know that he was held out of game 17. But Travis Kelce looked like he was battling father time this year. Injuries were nagging. That happens when you're older. Just think about life, regular people. That happened to Travis Kelce. He's not getting a year younger with 19 games plus of football on his body. High impact, important pressure filled games. That is going to take a toll on the human body. There was a time when I wasn't big go get wide receiver one guy. You'll remember the offseason the Chiefs gave up on Tyreek Hill. I was like, cool, rising tide lifts all boats. I don't feel that way anymore because you don't have a cheat code at tight end. You still have the best one in the league. And you still can pencil him in for right around 1,000 yards every year, but I don't think he's that guy that's he's the same as wide receiver one anymore. Those days are behind him, I believe. So you need wide receiver one. The guy that you have that's closest to wide receiver one is maybe not playing for a large portion of the season, so you can't rely on him. You have to get wide receiver one. On top of that, what is the thing that every single draft Nick has told us in some form or fashion about this draft? It is rich with great wide receivers. Neighbors, Thomas, Adunzie, Marvin Harrison Jr. I just named four guys going to the top 15, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't even mention guys like A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy and Xavier Leggett and guys who people think can be impact wide receiver one types in the NFL, but they're going to be available in that 15 to 32 region. Go get one of them. You missed the run last year. You didn't get Zay Flowers. You missed the run last year. You didn't get Jordan Addison. Don't miss the run this year, because as Kelce gets a little older and Rashee Rice gets a little bit more in legal trouble, you need a transcendent player at wide receiver, and right now you don't have one. And I don't want to hear about on Monday, we think Kadarius Toney is super talented and can be that guy. No. Stop it. Don't do that. Go get a true wide receiver one.
Is there a wide receiver that you really, really like? Like, I like A.D. Mitchell. I don't know if he's going to turn out to be a true wide receiver one. I would say Xavier Worthy, the exact same thing. I feel maybe more strongly about Xavier Worthy. I would be surprised if Xavier Worthy was a true, legitimate wide receiver number one. That doesn't mean that he can't be a productive receiver in the National Football League. Like, what if he turns out to be Tyler Lockett? You absolutely would take him. I wouldn't consider Tyler Lockett to be a true number one wide receiver. Is there a guy that you really, really like? If A.D. Mitchell is there, out of those three, if you're telling me that Xavier Worthy is on the board, Ladd McConkey is on the board, and A.D. Mitchell, I would take A.D. Mitchell out of those three with the 32nd overall pick. Or if there is not an offensive lineman that you feel strongly about, if you don't love any of these tackles and think that there's better value at wide receiver or somewhere else in the draft, then yeah, take the wide receiver in that scenario. That's who I would take. Is there a guy that you really like out of that grouping of guys that we think will be there?
So I do really like A.D. Mitchell, but I will tell you, I am somewhat hesitant about A.D. Mitchell because just the amount of football he hasn't played. I know he was at Georgia and transferred to Texas, but when he was at Georgia, he wasn't really playing football. He was more or less just out there. As a freshman, he had 29 catches. As a sophomore, he had 9. Then he transferred away and became the NFL prospect we now know and love. A.D. Mitchell is the name of the guy I think I'm probably most passionate about, but in that same range, I think McMillan or Polk from Washington can be that guy at 32. I'm out on McConkey. I'm out on Worthy. I think he's more John Ross-ish than he is Tyreek Hill-ish. So Mitchell's my crush. That's the one I want. But if you got one of the Washington guys, not just the Dunzie, but one of the other two, I'd be very, very happy. Or if for some reason, you know, chaos ensues and Neighbors is falling like with an anchor around his feet, I would be okay going and getting him too. But A.D. Mitchell is the crush. I do have a slight concern about the amount of football he's played, though.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the NFL draft with another host from 610. I want to play this audio for you guys. This was Tyreek Hill. He sat down on the Million Dollars Worth the Game podcast, and he was talking about a bunch of different issues, and he expressed his frustration that the Chiefs gave Isaiah Pacheco his old number.
Yeah, man, Kansas City got a real good running back.
Yeah, well, and he's a dog. He run hard.
Dog. Hear and see every step he takes so hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I did feel disrespected when they gave him 10, though. I ain't like that.
You ain't like
that? It's only 110 now.
It's only 110.
It should be only 110 in your heart, man.
Okay. Now, I think he's saying some of this tongue-in-cheek, so I'm not just going to go crazy on Tyreek. I don't want to do that. But you asked for a trade. You can't ask for a trade and then feel away when the organization gives you the trade and then moves on as an organization. I mean, that's what happened, right? And Tyreek had a phenomenal career in Kansas City. Bro, you wasn't Tom Brady. No player in Patriots history should ever wear 12 again. It should be instantly retired. It should be up there. It's in the rafters forever. No Royals player should wear 5. When Patrick Mahomes is done with it, there shouldn't be a player that wears 15. It's done. It's over. That's a number that should never be worn again. Tyree, come on now. Come on. You're not that. Somebody else is going to wear 10. And you know what? Somebody after Isaiah Pacheco is also going to wear 10. I mean, you're going to be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. You should be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. Eventually, when the dust settles, you deserve your moment to come back to Arrowhead, to wave to everybody, and get all the love. You deserve that. You've earned that. But you feel a way that they gave your number away? Bro, what are you talking about? You wanted to go be with somebody else. You now can't be mad that your ex has moved on when you were the one that ended the relationship. You said, I don't want to see each other anymore. The Chiefs wanted you to still be wearing number 10. I don't think the Chiefs wanted to trade Tyreek. They were negotiating a deal. All of a sudden, Tyreek didn't like the terms of the deal. That's life. I don't think you can do both, Tyreek. I really don't. Now, again, I understand you're just talking on a podcast. You're allowed to feel the way that you want to feel, but I'm also free to call you a sucker because of it. And I think this was another sucker move in a history of sucker moves from Tyreek Hill. That's what it is. Another example of sucker behavior from Tyreek Hill. I feel some kind of way. Bro, why are we still talking about this? You've played two full seasons with another team. Move on. You know what I really think it is with Tyreek? I think he's realizing that the money wasn't everything. The money is great. And I'm not saying that you aren't happy with the money. But, man, it was a little different when in January you was playing for something. It was a little different when you was winning chips, when you were the center of something really, really special. Now you just put up numbers on a team. That's great. But when that team smacked you up in the postseason last year, I mean, that money couldn't keep you warm when it was negative 12 degrees outside. That money didn't keep you from getting Tombstone Powell driven to the ground by L'Jarius Sneed in the second half of that game. It didn't stop any of that. I really do think Tyreek has a little bit of buyer's remorse. I really do. He talks about the Chiefs way too much to me to think that he's completely happy in his new situation. It comes up all the time.
I mean, also, that's just not really how sports work. Like, we retire jerseys, but very few are truly retired. Do you remember when Ross Travis, the horrible backup tight end for the Chiefs, wore 88? Does anyone remember about Ross Travis? No, but Tony Gonzalez is in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. People have worn 88. Jody Fortson wore 88. Tony Gonzalez, I don't think, feels a way about other tight ends wearing 88. He just goes about his business. It's life.
Michael Irvin likes it for the Cowboys.
Michael Irvin likes giving it away for the Cowboys.
Does. He likes to see CeeDee Lamb wears 88.
Since the run ended with the Royals and Kane and Moose and Co. all left, other players have worn those numbers. And the players wearing those numbers have stunk. Nicky Lopez wore 8 after Moustakis left. When you see an 8 at Kauffman Stadium, do you think, oh, that dude's got a Nicky Lopez jersey? Of course not. This is just not how sports works. There's like 6 to maybe 20 people in the history of sports. Their number is truly retired, and you can't wear it with that organization. A lot of times it's just we honor the number, but we don't truly retire it. Like, this is going to sound like KU basketball fan arrogance, and that's fine. Other players have worn 13 since Wilt Chamberlain did. Other players have worn 22 since, you know, Marcus Morris. Several players have worn 4 since Sherron Collins. We retire it to honor the player, but the number has to continue on. So to feel a way that Isaiah Pacheco, who's good, is wearing your number is just a lack of understanding about how sports work to me.
No, I'm with you. Good luck to Tyreek Hill and the Miami Dolphins. I'm sure they have a nice first-round exit plan this upcoming year, if they even make the postseason. I mean, it's always a 50-50. I mean, I think they're going to make the playoffs this year because I'm very low on Buffalo after the offseason that they had. Who knows what the Jets are going to do, and, well, the Patriots, I don't know if you've seen their roster anytime soon. I mean, their roster, it's bad. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. Their roster is really bad. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Chiefs draft. We're going to continue to be joined by a different member of the 610 family as we get you ready for the first round of the NFL draft. We also will be at the Landing in Liberty tomorrow. Keep it right here on 610 Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.